Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan. Welcome to a special episode of the Manufacturing the Future podcast. We have a very important topic to discuss, and that is what we're learning from the voices of those at the heart of manufacturing, our essential workers. Here's some context. Epicor sponsors this show and is a company that has always partnered with makers, movers, and sellers around the world to help them grow and thrive through technology. But back in early 2023, wanted to get even closer and really understand the state of the manufacturing industry, not just from its leaders, but from the perspective and the experience of frontline workers. So we launched our inaugural Voice of the Essential Worker survey. We've reached out to 600 manufacturing workers. We wanted to know their experiences, the challenges that they face, what keeps them motivated. Our goal was to help manufacturing leaders create more satisfying work environments for these essential team members for the benefit of all. And that said, we all know that change is constant in manufacturing, and the world of essential workers really evolves along with it. So we have launched our second annual report for 2024, surveying another 600 manufacturing workers, asking the same questions as last year. The 2024 report not only tells us where workers are now, but it also measures their experiences against last year to see what's changed. We'll explore day-to-day work, upskilling, training and new skill sets, technology and modernization in the workplace, and our outlook on manufacturing work to gain a deeper understanding of those who make our industry thrive. If you, our listener, would like to follow along, there's a link to the full report in the show notes. All right, well, I'm excited to dive into the report findings. To do that, I'm joined today by two experts in the field of manufacturing, Mark Vineman, owner and president of VEM Tooling, also a return guest to the show. Welcome, Mark. And our second guest is Arturo Fuzzolino, the Vice President of Product Innovation and Design at Epicor. Welcome, Arturo. All right, well, let's start by getting to know a bit about you both. So let's start with Mark. Can you please share a bit about your background and VEM Tooling?
So I'm originally from Germany, moved to Asia in 1997, and with a little hoops and loops here and there, ended up by owning five factories. We have a factory in China, in India, in Thailand, in Mexico, and Bulgaria. We make about 600-700 injection molds per year, and we have about 75 injection machines in the group. We're mainly a contract manufacturer for medical, aerospace, automotive, and consumer plastics.
Great. And Arturo, let's get to know a bit about your background. What brought you to Epicor?
Yeah, sure. I can get into that. So as you stated, right, I'm the head of product in manufacturing, actually, here at Epicor, and I also lead our innovation practice. Before Epicor, so actually I spent many years at SAP working in their labs. And then from there, I actually had a few stints at a number of startups. I think that was a little bit of my calling early on in my career. I wanted to see like what that was all about. So I was fortunate to actually work at a few robotics startups. And so really heavy in AI, I had the pleasure of actually scaling some of the largest AI systems in the world, at least at that time. So really, you know, a big reason I came to Epicor is Epicor obviously has, we build ERP products. And the way that I see it is, especially with the advent of AI and some of these newer technologies, I see an inflection point in ERP in general. The fact that ERP store so much valuable data, and there's so much value that we can extract from that within customers' walls, within manufacturers, especially in the essential industries. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
This is going to be great because we have two pretty distinct perspectives. Mark, you're running a global manufacturing organization today. And then Arturo, you have a long history of working with manufacturers and even from that technology provider lens. So this is going to be really interesting. All right. So our first topic is around the day-to-day work experiences of our manufacturing workers. So our report highlighted the importance of fostering open communications and feedback loops for a healthier workplace environment and really creating a culture that celebrates one another, but is also really focused in on creating great quality work. So, Mark, I wanted to start with you in regards to the day-to-day work experiences. Can you share any strategies that you have implemented in order to proactively address open communication and to really help bridge that gap between leadership efforts, maybe corporate initiatives and the vision of an organization to the frontline worker expectations to align them from a communication perspective?
Yeah, so maybe I start one step earlier. I actually can confirm your survey results. We have seen this ourselves. We've seen in the last 2-3 years a general drop in terms of motivation from our staff. And we can see this, you see this partially when you go on their LinkedIn profile and staff who've been with you for years have their open to work sign in there, or that they have more sick leaves or come more late. And it's a general trend and it's a worldwide trend. I only have to speculate where it comes from. It doesn't help us because we as employers, we have to deal with it because workers are our most important assets. So we need to make sure we get them back on track, we get them involved in the company, and we make sure we keep them. Because, you know, if you hire a new employee, if you have to replace a employee who leaves, the first 6, 9, 12 months, the guy's going to cost you more money than what you earn from them. So we have implemented a few things. So the first thing is I have a rule or an agreement with my staff that we have now, VM has more than 400 employees. Everybody can talk to the boss at any time. So everybody has access to emails, and I have an agreement that within 48 hours, they get a clear answer from me. But we also have idea box or complaint box in every factory where they can anonymously drop their comments. It can be from issues with superiors. It can be with food. It can be with working environment. It can be with missing tools, whatever. So they can do this either with name, without name. And if they address it with a name, I go back to them directly. And if they put it anonymously, I'll just collect that. And once a month, I'll write down all the open comments, what they have. And I write the answers from the management. It's not always that they like what they hear or see, but at least they get an answer from me. And the second thing we have is that I force my top management to be on the floor to work, communicate with the guys, walk by, stand there, understand what their day-to-day issues are, that we take them seriously and that we want to work with them to improve this. We also have an open door policy. I'm not very happy if I walk through my factory and I see doors closed. It's very simple, but you know, if you don't have a glass door and you don't know on the other side is it busy, you're more hesitant to go in there. I had the same experience when I started my work career and I was employed. And it's much easier to have a peek inside. Is your boss there? Is he free? Can I walk in? Can I quickly knock the door and get an idea from him? And then, of course, we have regular meetings with the staff. Normally, this is done by the HR management. We try to do this quarterly. Doesn't always work. Sometimes it's every 6 months. But at least we want to have one-on-one meetings to discuss the performance, show them what we like about them, but also try to listen to them. Because, again, the guys are every day on the floor. They know the best what works, what doesn't work. And for the things that don't work, that makes them unhappy. So we need to make sure we engage them and ask for their feedback. And finally, we have different factories have different systems, but we have like internal communication group. For example, in Thailand, they use Line. In China, they use WeChat. In the US, we use, or Mexico, we use WhatsApp. So that they can do internal small groups and share updates with each other. So there are quite a few. We work with that. We are aware of the problem and we'll hope we can get our people back to us.
This brings me to the next topic, which is the outlook on manufacturing. Very, very in line with what we're starting to talk about here. And this area of the survey is really interesting because it's how manufacturing is changing, just like we're discussing, and how that sentiment is represented through the voice of our manufacturing workers, their thoughts on future opportunities, the challenges that they're looking to solve or have solved by their leadership teams. So maybe, Mark, we can start. What trends or changes do you see in terms of employee preferences, perhaps workplace priorities, and then how that's starting to shape the manufacturing industry's workforce dynamics?
So there's a few areas where we can see changes in our company. I'll give you two or three of them. Number one is 3D printing. 3D printing is a big thing that's coming. We in the group, we have now 2 steel printers. We have a few plastic printers. We are trying for the first time to merge those two together. that we make products that are partially printed in steel, partially printed in plastics for prototype molds and maybe even for serious molds. So the second thing is we're using new advanced software. And the third thing is new measurement devices. Going back to our workers, I have to say, I see a lot of interest from our workers when we bring in new technologies that they want to join. For example, when I brought my first steel printer into India, the guys from assembly, from machining, from whatever, they all lined up and said, hey, we want to be part of the new printing. So especially about the younger, we might have to distinguish a little bit in the age here. But especially the younger workers who understand there is new things coming, new technologies coming, they're very interested in being part of that. And we try to use this and say it's not only one, but we try to have a bigger group who gets involved. And we try to share also that the guy who is handling the 3D printing right now, he shares this with his group. He shows, hey guys, my duty was on my instruction from the boss. That's actually for me. I told him, look, if you print something in steel, every time or the next time you print something, I want you to use 1% material less. So I'm trying to push them and say, hey, so now you have 80%. Next time you print with 79, then you print with 78. So they have to be creative and come up with ideas. How can we reduce material? Because number one, everybody says, hey, we have to consume less. We need to use less energy. And we have to be more creative to be more efficient and faster. So that is the one thing. If you give those guys challenges, they're very interested in taking them up. But we're back to the topic. It's not just dump them with a problem and say, you solve it. You have to give them guidelines. And you have to also encourage them and say, guys, I understand there will be the time when 1% will kill the project. You know, it's like breaking the camel's back with the one straw or the little drop that makes the bucket overflow. So you have to tell your workers, guys, if you make a mistake here by trying new things, no issues. This learning by doing, you have to encourage your worker to make mistakes because from mistakes, you learn the most. So have an open mind for that, push them a little bit, and at the same time, take the fear away from them for failing. It's not that, hey, you break a core, a printed core, break a printed insert, then you're fired. That's not the case, because in the end, we learn from this, and it's new technologies. There is no guidebook for that. There is no guidebook how to do perfect 3D steel printing. And I'm pretty sure Arturo will agree with me, the same for the new software. It's also the software had to be adjusted. There is nothing perfect. So get your guys on board, tell them, yes, work hard, be creative, but also don't be afraid of mistakes.
Before we jump over to Arturo, I just wanted to actually dig into a little bit of what you were mentioning there, Mark, around reducing energy, reducing waste. Not only would that have efficiency and productivity gains, cost savings, sustainability, though, with being such a global manufacturer. And this we saw in the survey that workers actually prefer to work for a more sustainable organization, a company that cares about the future of sustainability. Can you speak a little bit about the initiatives underway at your organization?
So first of all, it's a huge topic and it started a couple of months ago. I think my guess is it comes out of Europe that more and more of our big customers, especially the automotive guys, they want from you certain procedures in place. They have certain audits. This is coming big time now. So we have actually one person who is in charge of all of this for the sustainability, and that we have to, at the moment, there's self-audits, but I'm pretty sure there will be real audits for that. And for us, it's a very important point. And I like it because it helps my bottom line. It's not only that we do something for the environment, which is a very, very different topic. I mean, I live in Mexico. Mexico City might run out of water in the next couple of months. So there's a lot of issues coming. So I think the companies are all responsible to be there. So long story short, what we do is we have one person who looks into all of this, who coordinates this with the factories, and the factories are very much encouraged to look into how can we reduce waste. The keywords is reuse, recycle, or reduce. Those three things. And that's what we focus on. And on top of that, we have the first factories with solar panel. I want to have all of them in the near future, that all of them can at least during the day generate their own energy. And we need to look into reduce waste, reduce power and materials.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, to your point, this is going to become more and more of an imperative around the world. So great to get your perspective on it. Arturo, over to you in regards to the trends.
Yeah, so I was actually going to say that I know we touched on sustainability. I'll go back to the other point, but yeah, and I think the stat is, and I don't want to misquote, but by 2029, I think in the EU expects companies to be able to report carbon emissions down to the park level. It's something like that. I'm not sure if it's exactly 2029, but it's in the next few years. And I think a lot of manufacturers right now are trying to work ahead to get to that, to be able to have that level of reporting at the park level, right? And to Mark's point, right, like having that kind of visibility also helps the manufacturer itself to say, where can we save? Where can we do better, right? So I think that's a positive.
We will include the specific requirement in the show notes so that our listeners can refer to that.
Arturo, here's the business idea for you. Come up with software, how to calculate that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mark, okay. I think we can show you some cool things. Carrie's also cooking up in her team.
That's right.
So yeah, I think to Mark's point, again, it goes back to that culture, right? And it's not just workers like in manufacturing places. Like I said, even for software development, it's extremely important to have those kinds of open door policies, but also mistakes are okay. Now we learn from them, but if we're performing or looking for excellence, you're going to have to mess up, right? That's how you grow. So I think that's super important. And again, there's no automating that. There's no software for that. It's just how a management team thinks and the culture they instill in their organization. And I think that is almost, it's going to be like the bottom requirement. If I say your data needs to be clean and organized, I think even before that, the culture, that mindset needs to be in place. Because that's, again, there's a lot of changes that are going to happen in the next 5 years. And us as organizations need to be ready for those changes. And the way you do it is, yeah, cultural, right?
Yeah.
Growth mindset.
Great point. A big thank you to our guests for sharing their valuable insights on the manufacturing industry. And listeners, you can access the full Voice of Essential Worker in Manufacturing report by following the link provided in our show notes. Thank you all for joining us today. If you found this episode informative, don't forget to subscribe, rate, leave us a review. Your feedback helps us reach more manufacturing leaders and continue delivering valuable content. And to everyone listening, thank you for being a part of the future of manufacturing.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.